Blog Talk Radio.
Ma-Afrika, emotla. Ma-Afrika, omse. The beautiful African. Good day, good evening. Gimela, Tovela, Mulweni. Ashe, Hotep, Sava, Assalamu alaikum. Ma-Afrika, Africa Day, 25 May 1963. The founding day of the Organization of African Unity, that is the OAU, also initiated the Africa Liberation Committee that spearheaded the liberation of Africa, one country at a time, from colonial and apartheid occupation. We had countries like Angola, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, then called Rhodesia, Namibia, then called Southwest Africa, and Azania, today called South Africa. We remember, honor, and salute the PAC PAACO members, 169 who were executed by the apartheid regime between 1960 and 1964. You ask why the African majority government never memorialized, never mentioned the executed PAC PAACO, except to mention one of the young member who was hanged. Of course, may his martyred soul rest in peace. We honor him too. 21 years after the Freedom Day, after the first African majority freedom vote, 21 years into black majority rule, we still have the PAC political prisoners held in jail by the black government. However, in Africa, we celebrate our liberation and the liberation of Africa from colonial government occupation and trusteeships. Of course, from apartheid, colonial government occupation and trusteeships. Our concern, in Africa, is the security of the African Mo-Africa, the individual Mo-Africa today. You look from Cape to Cairo, Madagascar to Morocco, Mo-Africa. Can you say that our condition as Africans, especially the vulnerable, the children, the mothers, the elderly. You see them on TV. My Africa, this has to stop. In many parts of Africa, the individual in Africa has no security and protection against hunger, murder, suffers discrimination, stolen land, and stolen natural resources. It's an equal access, and in times, no access to quality education, health, and justice. We see across Africa internecine hate, and you saw it recently in our country, Azania, South Africa, Afrophobia, xenophobia, or selfophobia. And sometimes we see murder for political power and state power. Recently, Africa unions, one of the secretary of the unions, transport workers union, was assassinated. And the complaint is his colleagues did it. And we see unstable governments ruled by factions, not governed by the people for the people, governed by political factions. Africa, factions in political parties and government destabilize succession. Succession in Africa, continuity and consolidation of the gains of the liberation struggle that we experience and live today. That's why our condition is seemingly stagnant, does not move forward, because it is that elite, the chosen elite, that's quadruple their income. That's why we are saying that you got to audit the lifestyles of these people, but time will come for that. We are saying, Africa, to my Africa, especially the Robben Island political prisoners, those sentenced to life and all political prisoners, their sacrifice, contribution, and wisdom has mellowed, Africa. It's mellowed. Factional party politics and rank opportunism simply has cut them off, has cut off the ex-prisoners to continue contribute to the gains of the liberation struggle. They've got wisdom. It has matured like old wine, but we never got to them. They call them old. don't want to listen to them. And we have seen more Africa among the, my Africa, especially the PEC members of parliament, break away to form another political party using the PEC votes. And remember, one member and his faction broke away, and as him as president, broke away from the party in less than 6 months. He resigned as president to join the governing party, a victim, clear victim of poverty and stomach politics. We have this thing in the country called stomach politics. However, the deadly consequence of undermining the PEC. That's why my Africa and the Africanists have to stand firm. And we have to serve. We have to sacrifice. Sacrifice that ambition to be leaders. And the factionalism is festering as we speak today. And when the party is weak in particular, it is easy to factionalize and take over. The weakness festers competing factions to be more aggressive. And we are experiencing it today in Africa. So we call upon, with experiences all over Africa, we call upon the AU and Africa to monitor factional politics in party national congresses. Also, Africa should initiate rules and bylaws imposing peaceful political successions, protect and enhance the individual African people's sovereign right to govern themselves, because we have self-government or self-governing entities in appearance only. So, Africa, we are saying that Africa must be protected, the individual must be protected, and the people's sovereign right to govern themselves. Of course, through elected representatives, elected publicly, fairly, and transparently. In Africa, we have seen it. Party political factions destabilize accountable governments. They are the root of corruption and internecine wars in Africa. We recall the tragic history of political successions and political coups in Africa. Brother African, more Africa, Thomas Sankara, assassinated by Blaise Compaoré. And it appears when I read in one of these, I was shocked. I was reading this. One of the reasons was that Sankara disturbed the relations with France and neighboring countries. And luckily today we have Blaise was chased out of Burkina Faso and allegedly is taking refuge in France. But in Africa, as we say that, we've gone through the tragedy of coups and the murders and assassinations in Africa that needs to stop. And also that South Africa has seen the coup by one political faction and a bitter recall of a sitting president. If you remember in Africa, how it happened, it shocked the world. And we are seeing local and provincial governments paralyzed by factional battles, corruption and blatant theft of government money, creating instant millionaires and bankrupted and taken over by central government. It has happened. Limpopo is one example. And the masses are spectators watching the misuse and abuse of their public money. Of course, the masses, by their power of their vote, they voted, Africa. They voted and denied themselves. Apparently, it turns out they've denied themselves the right to rule over themselves. So the governing party appoints and disappoints, recycles incompetent appointees like garbage, while at the same time looking to get the most competent so that they can parade him in front of the people to reclaim unity. That's not the way to govern Africa. By the way, this is a people's government, also being a people's parliament. The people must decide and be able to correct those that are incompetent and corrupt, the leaders that are incompetent and corrupt, but it's not happening. So that's why we are insisting, we are calling for a whole overhaul, a change of the whole electoral system. It has to be constituency-based, and it has to be responsible to and accountable to the individual voter, not the group. In Africa, because of factional appointees put to protect political bosses and factional hegemony, today our government, the government institutions, and it may be from Cape to Cairo to Morocco, are corrupted, dysfunctional, and the country is now today disreputably called the Golden Handshake Republic, meaning that it just came kickbacks to silence and let go corrupted and compromised political appointees hired to protect a particular faction. And my Africa, the liberation movement in Zimbabwe is split. Seasoned liberationists, guys who fought in the trenches together, engage in name calling. Of course, there are new ones, the new ones that came recently. Those are the most vociferous, the loudest amongst them. And they engage in name calling, which is uncultured, in Africa, extremely crude and downright unacceptable within the ranks of the liberation movement. Where are we going? And Mafuta, you got to watch. With today's technology, you paste your voice. After they copy, they paste your voice on another fake voice saying that you're going to kill somebody. I'm telling you. Whether true or false, if a liberation movement brings to its aid, gets help from an enemy to help it win power, Africa, that is a red line that Africa should not cross. I mean, we should be howling about this because you are setting a precedence. You bring in this enemy. And what happens? What's going to happen? What do we inherit as Africans collectively? At the next moment, you splinter and break into pieces. The enemy will split, pick and capture the leadership that they put into power, that they have to grab power and again, now and forever, rule over it by remote control. They do not have to be there physically, but they can come in, set up that relationship and move out. They may also go and live in the mass, on mass, but they will continue to rule over you by remote control unless we unite and nevertheless differ. No matter the difference, no matter the arguments, we can call each other names quietly in the bedroom, but not outside in the newspapers. But I think I'm talking from experience, especially with technology. And today with artificial intelligence, they can put a hand, an artificial hand attached to you, and you use your eyes and your brain to move that hand, maybe help you to drink coffee, or it can just touch fingers. It's happening today in Africa. And sometimes I would be put a dart in the back of your brain, and then your vertebrae somewhat was elongated. Those were the days and the attacks under the apartheid regime that they called so-called the dirty tricks. They happened here, but sometimes stuff happens. And I remember vividly, I was supposed to put a court case, file an appeal court case at the Supreme Court. I had the whole month. I couldn't function for the whole month. No, I had that, and I said, okay, that's it. Now, in Africa, you can't bring the enemy. We'd rather fight, close the door, even if it means cursing at one another, cutting each other, anything you want to. We go outside, we are liberationists. And if somebody says that they wanted to kill you, you are not killing me. I come with you from the trenches. You watch. You are going to drop dead before I go. And that's it. Because what you are saying, the succession is key, and the kind of succession you lay down will lay success for future generations. Africa, we are in trouble. Because as we are pointing out, we are hammered it again. The minority will soon be the electoral majority in South Africa. And they have a strategy. We've been fighting constantly since the dawn of the liberation struggle. And some, as we pointed out, people were executed in the country. And sometimes you remove the gallows so that you hide it. That's a fight that we've been engaging. But the succession in Burundi, Africa, the opposition party leader was murdered this weekend. Why the African Union, if not in position to impose the current Burundi president, because the president wants to run for another third, 5-year term, why don't the AU foresee occurrences of problems of this nature within and between states? Why don't they establish the Pan-African Court to adjudicate disputes within and between states? Let's leave development for a while. Let's leave it out. Leave it out for a while because it's going to happen. Africans are hungry, they're destabilized, and the best brains are not participating in the development of the nation because you've colluded with the enemy and you are keeping them out. Leave development out. Let's deal with our human rights. Let's deal with our rights and participation in development of the continent. In Egypt, Africa, Egypt, more than 150 Africans are sentenced to death as we speak. They were resisting what they saw or see as an electoral coup. An overthrow of this leader in prison, convicted, also sentenced to death. Where is the AU? You're so quiet. Africa, as you say, that Africa needs to develop, but human rights and African human rights come first to secure and protect their individual and collective sovereign right to develop. Without rights, we cannot develop. You can bring these machines and equipment, they're going to occupy us because they're manufacturers. They're in business. They're doing it for you. Give us our rights first. We say, where is the AU in Egypt? And in southern Sudan, after the breakup from Sudan, the leaders are fighting. The people are dying. The AU is engaged in a voluntary, pathetically ineffectual talks between the leaders, persuading the leaders them to stop fighting. It does not work because it's involuntary. It's voluntary. Why don't the AU establish a Pan-African court that will impose peace on the fighting leaders or seize their right to leadership? Stop the murder and the killing of the innocent Sudanese. Now you got to get foreigners to come and help you to stop the murders. Every time, get the NGOs. While certain things we cause ourselves and undermine our sovereignty as independent and self-reliant Africans. Africa and the AU has no business dealing with and complaining about the International Criminal Court. We don't want to hear your complaints that it discriminates against African leaders and countries. After slavery, Africa, colonialism, and apartheid, why did Africa not establish its Pan-African Court to resolve disputes between and within African countries? Then sign and ratify the founding of the ICC. Why did you sign it in the first place? You come back and say, what? Or you want impunity, somebody, because if you kill your people and oppress your people, someone in the world will not listen. They talk about self-protect, right to protect. Now, I've always talked about the right to self-protect because that goes with sovereignty and that goes with territoriality. We don't want to hear you complain about the ICC no more. Because some of the African leaders also, they are out of order. Out of order. They mistreat their people. And the next thing is when the world howls, you say that now we are being discriminated against. Why did you sign why did you ratify that? And in the second place, why do you oppress your own people? And similarly, why do the AU Parliament and Summit hold its meeting today at the Galanga Estate? And today, and not by now, this moment, have built the AU Parliament in Soweto, Sharpeville, Langa, or more especially on Robben Island. Why didn't you build that parliament on Robben Island? What does the Galata Estate have to do with anything? Except that's neo-colonialism and occupation. And we're so happy to be parading to go there. You'll be drinking, you'll be happy. The Galata Estate has no connection to the liberation struggle. Except it was an empty field. It was an empty field during the liberation. Now it is mushroomed as the AU Parliament seat and the Beijing capital of Africa. All the leaders have not been there. They've got you by the tails. They've got you by the tails. They've got Africa by the tails. This is the consequence. Come Freedom Day in South Africa, we saw the governing party leadership emigrate from the townships to Sandton and to other white suburbs, abandoning the township. This is partly the root and cause of seeing Africans burn, knife to death other Africans in the townships and rural areas. We saw it with the xenophobia because you left your people. Now you live in the suburbs with high walls and what, and you realize after the fact, and this, you know, the killings happened in 2007, the killings happened in 2008, and recently one of Mozambican brothers was burned to death. Don't say that it's not xenophobia. You should have stood up at that time, but you didn't. So, Africa, it is no coincidence that our first African president in South Africa emigrated to live in Sandton, and that the African Union today and the African leaders congregate in Sandton. This is planned, Africa. But what planning do we do as Africans? Because we've seen that sometimes in the liberation struggle, when people come and take over our struggle. Africa, today, let's congratulate Nigeria. This program, Africa program, congratulates Nigeria for the first election transition and succession from one governing party to the next. A peaceful transition. Why? Because ICC was watching. Internationally, he told them that, look, you better get this thing in order, otherwise you're going to go to jail. And we, of course, also congratulate the giants of peace in Africa, peaceful transition. These giants, peaceful successes, Botswana, Namibia, Tanzania. I'm sorry if I've left others, but these ones, they're the shining. So there are difficulties in terms of the economic outlook, but peaceful succession and transition is critical, Africa. And Africa, if we, the Africans, do not ask and raise these hard questions about Africa and ourselves, better we ask the hard questions than the enemy exploit and destabilize our mistakes and failings. We know, Africa, that's going to happen. It's happening every minute. It's happening every minute. And Africa, like I was saying, you know, to quote, I think somebody was asking, said one president once asked, how do you undermine and combat radicals with castrosizing in the inner cities? This was the early 60s, when black folks didn't want to hear anything. Over here, they just kicking the doors, and it was like, hey, we don't want to hear it. And the president asked, how do you undermine and combat these radicals metastasizing in our cities? And the answer was, just manufacture more Uncle Toms. Man, just make more Uncle Toms. And we know for a fact that in Azania, South Africa, the strategy has been to combat and undermine the liberation movement radicals and majority. They call us, we got an apartheid hangover. We don't want to deal with these people. They are angry. They have an apartheid hangover. And the answer to that, and we are seeing in Africa, is to co-opt the liberation movement leadership economically. And most important, breed, multiply, and co-opt the bond-free youths en masse. Isolate and let the apartheid hangovers die in their grief, in their disunity, destitute, in self-hate, and isolation. You know, the issue of the transition, the political transition is, to others, it was the major psychological and didactic feat. It was like science, the scientific, because they got it down to the corner, the comma, and the full stop. And unfortunately, to most of us, it was a question of the heart. We did not use the head. And that's why many said that, look, we are not going to participate with this thing, because we knew that there was something wrong and it was incomplete. And the fact that many of the liberation movement's components were not consulted. Africa, there's time to catch up, but also to heat up the hate that the governing party has put amongst the nation. Because what has happened is that even individual against each other, they used to call each other names, especially with the past president that was recalled. And elders warned that do not let these children curse at the elders, because they are going to do it to you. And guess what? You look today. So, Africa, on this Africa Day, we celebrate the liberation of Africa from apartheid and colonial occupation. We celebrate the life and contribution of African liberation, contribution to the African liberation of the current AU chairman, Robert Mugabe, irrespective, my figure, of the gripes and the complaints and whatnot. He is an icon. He stood firm against all odds. And that is an attribute that will last and live forever. And that is an attribute that we need to consolidate, that we stand firm, irrespective, in their face, to tell them, no, this is the position and that's it. And this kowtowing, jiving and ducking that we have seen in South Africa has put us, I mean, they cannot even put in the name Azania. Just co-opt the name Azania so that, no. So it is the people and the young ones, if they are listening, got to stand up, go vote as more after. It is time to liberate our minds, as I say, that we are too addicted. But Africa, we are saying that addiction is a disease. And sometimes it happens in the family. You may be lucky if you don't have that, one of the family addicted, especially with drugs. But alcoholism is addiction too. And there are times when the people in the family break stuff. They get angry. They break stuff in the house, and that is not a police matter. Unfortunately, my figure, that is a psychiatric matter that just has to be dealt with the hospital. So we hope, my figure, that we will catch up. We will raise some of these issues in terms of health, food, and the individual of the development of the individual person. And we are saying, my figure, let's stand firm, let's celebrate what we've contributed, let's not undermine each other.